Hard Mark Podcast.
Shrimp on the barbie. Shrimp on the barbie.
Do you respect that?
That's corruption.
I could make a fake snake.
You not pee in the pool. You not pee
on the barbie. All of myself is clean.
Broadcasting from a sleep-deprived state, welcome to the Hard Mark Podcast, a show where I, Eric Donaldson, wrestling fan of over 30 years, introduce one match per episode to my co-host who has never watched wrestling. We talk about the backstory, we watch the match, and then we rank that match on our ever-growing list. The purpose of the show is to see what happens when someone who has never watched wrestling is introduced to its most notable matches. And without any further ado, my lovely co-host, Flying Ryan Murphy. No Markbot this week, Ryan, unfortunately. Markbot's still on vacation with Talkbot. I think they're traveling through the Caribbean or something like that.
Good for him, you know.
Yeah, they deserve each other. If I can break kayfabe for a moment. If I can start shooting, brother, instead of working. So the site that I would use for all the Markbot stuff,
yeah.
Apparently they got sued for a few million dollars. So maybe a while. I found a replacement. It's not nearly as good. So we'll see. There may be more Markbots in the future, but it may be a little bit.
Just have Colton build you one, you know.
That's a, you know what?
Yeah.
That guy owes me.
Yeah.
He wouldn't be married if it wasn't for me. There's a couple of things I should probably address wrestling wise before we get into the match that we're going to be watching. There's actually a couple of deaths in the world of wrestling that happened within the past few days of this recording, actually, of people that we've seen on the show. Terry Funk passed away. Earlier this week at the age of 79. Terry Funk, we've watched a couple matches of his. We most notably probably was the big death match episode 30, where he faced off against Cactus Jack in Japan to crown the king of the death match, Terry Funk. In my opinion, I think, so there's a lot of conversations about, like, you know, the greatest of all time. And that's not unique to wrestling by any stretch of imagination. That's in all of sports. Everybody wants to, you know, argue about who's the GOAT. Yeah. I think in wrestling, again, just like every other sport or pseudo sport, everything's around it has changed. And like, people are so much more athletic now than they were 30 years ago, you know, 20. Well, maybe not. It seems like I always think the 70s are 30 years ago. That's not true anymore. But, you know, when you jump from like the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, like there's a very clear like peak spike in athleticism that took place in like all of sport. And so for me, if you're talking about like who's the greatest of all time in professional wrestling, you almost kind of have to like separate it from like modern era. And then you have a line and then it's kind of like that era before the modern era. And I think Terry Funk is a strong contender for probably being the greatest of all time in that, you know, pre-modern era. But he was able to bridge the gap into modern day wrestling better than just about any other guy from that previous era, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's sad news. I did not. I feel like I would have seen this like somewhere, like, but I hadn't. That's stupid. Yeah, I mean, 79, though, right? I mean, he lived
he was in a care facility. I think he was having, I don't recall if it was Alzheimer's or dementia or maybe some form of that. But I mean, he had a long, long 80-year life. So it was, and it was filled with a lot of stuff. I think he probably lasted a lot longer than a lot of people would who kind of went through all the punishment that he put himself through. I mean, he was not that far removed from, say, like a Ric Flair. And if you compare like Flair's body of work and like what he did in his later years versus like what Terry Funk did in like ECW and in Japan, and it's like, it's just nuts. Like, so yeah, Terry Funk, one of the greats. Too bad, but you know,
R.I.P.
Yeah. Rest in power, Terry Funk. We also saw him against Jerry Lawler in the empty arena match. So we've seen a couple of really iconic Terry Funk moments. Another, and maybe maybe more sad just on account of the fact that, you know, did not get to the age of a Terry Funk. But Bray Wyatt, who we only saw him once, and it was early on in our run. We had a match where we watched the Wyatt family versus the Shield. It was the Bayou Colt versus the Tactical Gear fellas. But the leader of the Bayou Colt, Bray Wyatt, only 36 and a current wrestler on the WWE roster. I guess he was a bigger guy. He had heart issues from what it sounded like. And he also got COVID earlier in the year, and that combined with the heart issues made it a lot worse. And so he just passed away. I think it was this past Thursday, as a matter of fact. So, yeah, bummer.
Goddamn, what a sad note to start off the. But appropriate, but sad.
Yeah, I wanted to mention it. It's not it's not getting you in that tiki bar mindset, but we'll come back from this. But I felt like it was only appropriate that we address some big passings, not only in the world of wrestling, but some folks that we've seen on the program before. But
can I, isn't wrestling, based, sure. But I feel like this is big. I've been Hector Salamanca gone.
Who is that?
Breaking Bad.
Oh, was he like the guy that like
wheelchair Bell?
Okay, got it. When did that happen? Noting,
I've been through the series. I've been really invested. I just wanted to shout him out. Not a wrestling death, but we're talking deaths. I think this guy, very recently, like in the last couple weeks. Like,
okay, all right. I did not know that. To, Well, thank you, Ryan. I appreciate that.
Everyone's a Breaking Bad fan, so you gotta.
Yeah, you and I were both late adopters of Breaking Bad, but one of the best shows of all time. How do you pivot from that? I don't know, but a little while ago, Ryan, episode 72 to be specific, we saw ourselves a pretty good little match featuring the sniveling, whining, highly entertaining Chris Jericho defending his Cruiserweight Championship against high-flying luchador Juventud Guerrera, which is currently ranked number 26 on our list. It is towards the top of the good section. Now, unfortunately for Ryan and for Hoovy, Jericho managed to successfully retain his title. Hoovy was forced to unmask as a result. Luckily for us, Hoovy was, as Ryan claimed, maybe the most handsome man of all time. What? You're giving me a look.
No. I was this the last match we watched?
No, this is episode. This is like seven matches ago.
Okay.
This is a little while ago. But Chris, we've only seen one match with Chris Jericho, who we just saw in Rumpus Time.
Yeah. He's a handsome guy. Like
he's a good looking. Yeah, the lion heart, stealing all the hearts of the little ladies down in Mexico City when he moved down there. But no, he wrestled Juventud. Juventud lost the mask, lost the match, and had to unmask as a result. And you were very you were like, oh, that what a handsome man, was what you said.
Let's see a picture of this guy. Not that we can circle back to this, but I do remember like the match. I just don't remember like how handsome was this guy, you know?
Let me help you out here.
Thanks. Yeah. I'll rate him on a scale of 1 to 10.
On your way in 3, 2, 1.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What a heartthrob, right?
Yeah. This is a handsome guy.
See, you wouldn't lie. You wouldn't lie about it, of course.
All right. Okay.
All right, so you stand by what you said, Ned?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, great. Okay. Now, so that was back in episode 72. This is now uno momento. This is, we're shaking the ring rust off, folks. This is
Eric, you had a bunch of time to do a bunch of stuff. I don't know why you're, lag on these issues.
This is episode 80. Episode 80.
Wow. 8-0.
8-0. So, yes, it's our 87th match. This is episode 80. Eight episodes ago. So, it's been a while. Episode 72 is when we saw Jericho taking on Juventud Guerrera. Now we're back to revisit WCW. And we're going to see how more of the story has unfolded since our last visit. So that match between Jericho and Quasi-Juice, pardon me, Juventud, took place in February of 1998. Fast forward a little bit, the contest we're going to be watching today is 3 months later in May of that same year. So this is very much the same kind of story that's being told here. Now, over those 3 months, Jericho took on all comers in defending his title. By my count, Jericho defended against 9 different challengers and managed to withstand them all. But to make matters worse and to twist the knife just a little bit more, Jericho began to take trinkets from each of his challengers. So from Juventud, as we previously saw, he took his mask. And so Jericho would actually sometimes wear the mask as a necklace. Occasionally, he'd even come out to the ring wearing Juventud's mask as the ultimate sign of disrespect.
Right.
From Rey Mysterio Jr., another luchador, Jericho injured his knee and began carrying a knee brace with him as a symbol of his conquest. But from Prince Iaukea, a proud Hawaiian competitor who we actually saw during Rumpus time, Jericho took his sarong, which he insisted on calling his mahi mahi.
What's a sarong?
A sarong is like it's like a piece of fabric. It's not quite a skirt, but it's a piece of fabric you wrap around your waist.
Just like a belt?
No, it's like a long piece of fabric.
Like a skirt?
I mean, yes, but no.
Okay. Like a kilt?
Sure. I mean, is this going to be another Google search doc? Sarong. Here we go.
I'm just asking questions that the audience, I think, wants to know.
I don't. Okay. You know what? That's fine. So this is just the Google search of sarong here. I'm going to help you out. There's different lengths of sarong, but it's essentially like a piece of fabric that you are tying around your waist, usually.
That's very Hawaiian. That's why it's fucked.
Yeah, it's very. Which Prince Iaukea from the Hawaiian Islands.
I actually like that better than a kilt.
Easy, pal. But anyway, so Chris Jericho took Prince Iaukea's sarong and started calling it his mahi mahi.
Is that disrespect?
It's just to play up Jericho kind of being an idiot, and which mahi mahi for in case you don't know, Ryan, that's a fish.
Yeah, I know.
Well, you didn't know what a sarong was, so I'm just covering all my bases here.
Never mind.
What? Go ahead. Okay. He also stole the Disco Inferno's treasured headband. But perhaps the most egregious offense by Jericho was his repeated insults directed towards the man of 1,000 holds, the Iceman, Dean Malenko. And as we alluded to during Rumpus time, for anyone who didn't listen to that, yes, Dean Malenko, the man of 1,000 holds, he's the inspiration for Ryan's nickname of he was originally the man of 1,000 compliments. Now he's formerly now you're the artist formerly known as the man is 54,097.
Right. Yeah, I still haven't redeemed myself. But yeah.
No, maybe tonight the tiki party. Which the backstory between Jericho and Malenko. So after being beaten by Jericho in March, Malenko left in frustration and he disappeared from WCW altogether. Especially pleased with himself and never content to leave well enough alone, Jericho would continue to take shots at Malenko despite his absence. Claiming himself, Jericho, to be the man of 1,004 holds, Jericho would also make snide comments about Dean's dead father, the late wrestling legend Boris Malenko. These insults would draw the ire of Dean's brother Joe, who confronted Jericho only to receive an empty apology and then to be attacked from behind. But after making all of these enemies, and after vanquishing all of his competition, the confident and cocksure Chris Jericho approached the head WCW official, James J. Dillon, and proclaimed that as he was the greatest cruiserweight champion of all time, that he was going to retire the cruiserweight title as there was nobody left that could defeat him. Dillon countered that while Jericho had been a great champion, a match had already been made for the upcoming pay-per-view Slamboree to take place in Ryan's favorite wrestling city of Worcester, Massachusetts. This match would take the... you made a face.
Well, is that my favorite wrestling city?
One of the matches that we saw, there was a legendary moment in a match between The Rock and Mankind where Steve Austin showed up and like clocked The Rock in the head with a steel chair. That was in Worcester and the crowd went banana. Okay. Yeah. So that's the Worcester backstory there. So this match that was being made for Slamboree would take the top 15 cruiserweight title challengers. The 15 men would face off in a battle royal where you can eliminate your opponents by throwing them through the ropes. You wouldn't even have to necessarily throw them over the top. You could just throw them through the ropes. As soon as your feet touch the ground, you're eliminated, or by pinfall.
Sorry. So you said if you throw them through the ropes, that's an elimination. But you said you don't have to throw them over. If you throw someone over the ropes, it's not an elimination.
So in this match, it is.
But you okay? But in other matches, that's not like a thing.
Correct.
I just want to clarify.
So the reason this is notable. So we've watched other battle royal style matches where you just have a big cluster of guys. For that, you have to throw everybody over the top rope to eliminate them. Okay. In this match specifically, you can still do that, but you don't have to. You can just throw them through the ropes, and that counts too.
Battle Royale
with cheese. Yes. Yeah. Or you can also pin people, apparently, in this match, too. So either one.
Anything goes.
Anything goes to get people eliminated. And so the last man remaining of those 15, that they would then go on to immediately face Chris Jericho for the Cruiserweight Championship. So no rest time, no time in between. It's Battle Royal. The winner of the Battle Royal then faces off against Chris Jericho.
What a great time to be Chris Jericho.
Is there ever a bad time?
Yeah.
So Jericho, who had initially been reluctant to accept, quickly realized that his opponent at Slamboree would have to survive 14 other men. They would be weakened and thus would be easy pickings for Jericho, who then happily accepted. And so that is the match we're going to be watching here today. We've got 15 guys, many of whom have an axe to grind with Chris Jericho. And so one of them is going to earn a shot at the Cruiserweight title. So one thing, I'll just kind of pitch this to you, Ryan, unless you feel strongly otherwise, I was going to recommend that we rank this as one thing, and then we just have you predict the winner of the one-on-one contest rather than the Battle Royal piece. But it's up to you.
So, like, the whole thing, the entire Chris Jericho, everything, it was ranked in one, and then, right? And
that's what I'm suggesting.
Are you saying, I missed this. Are you saying I picked Chris Jericho versus the winners, or just picked the 15?
I'm saying that you don't need to make a pick for the Battle Royal piece. You can just pick the winner of Chris Jericho versus the Battle Royal winner.
That's fine. I'm good with that,
Okay, and then we can rank it as one thing together. We don't have to rank. Even though it's technically two matches, we'll just rank it as one.
Unless I don't like the result of my outcome, then.
Right, yes. And then you can absolutely change it at that point.
I'll complain, and I'll go back. And
my tiki party will be ruined because of you, Eric. To finish things out, and then, of course, if you have any questions, we can address it. To kind of put a little bow on this thing, wrestle with the data. Ryan's record as it stands right now, 48 wins, 37 losses, and one draw. He's on a one-match losing streak, which our final match was Cactus Jack or Mick Foley versus Randy Orton, which was a really fucking good match before we took a little pause. What's it rated?
Or what did I rank that one?
Seven,
yeah. Okay.
It is in the fucking amazing section. It's the very bottom of fucking amazing, but hey, that's rarefied air nonetheless.
All right.
Any questions? Any thoughts before we watch?
Do you wish that I held all my questions till the end?
No.
Okay, good. Then I don't have any questions.
Your question, what a meta question that was. But okay, we'll take a quick pause. We will watch the match and we'll come back with our thoughts about Chris Jericho versus whoever wins the battle, big Cruiserweight Battle Royal at Slamboree 1998. Thanks, everybody.
Cruiserweight Battle Royal, the winner to face Chris Jericho for the championship here tonight. In this contest, a wrestler is eliminated either by pinfall or when both feet touch the ringside floor. And ladies and gentlemen, here are the participants.
Hold on just one second here. David Penzer, you inintelligible, moronic, high-voiced dweeb. You know nothing about the sport of pro wrestling, and you know nothing about these fine competitors coming out today. So I'm going to do all the Jerichoholics a great favor. I'm going to introduce all of the contestants in the Cruiserweight Battle Royal. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, one of these fine contestants will get a chance at the Cruiserweight belt. They'll never win it. But tonight, you're going to see a great match from a great competitor. Let's get down to the list here. coming out next from El Paso, Mexico. Oh. This guy used to be a great bartender, but as it translated to his wrestling skills, he's the scourge of the illustrious Guerrero family. He is Chavo Guerrero Jr. Maybe a 2 out of 10 chance of winning. Now we got Damian. He can't afford a mask. He's using paint. But sooner or later, he's going to buy a mask. I'm guaranteeing you that. Here we go. The winner of the Lou Ferrigno lookalike contest. This guy's also from Mexico, El Dandy. Now this guy pulled up in a nice rusted out 68 El Camino Chevy. He's the ugliest man in our sport today. He's the illustrious Quasi Juice Guerrero. Oh yeah, straight from Minneapolis, Minnesota. Oh yeah. I want my lover boy tape back, Lenny Lane. This guy is Silver King. If he wins 12 more matches, he'll be upgraded to Golden King. Ladies and gentlemen, those are your contestants in tonight's Battle Royal. I'm going to the back for a coffee, because none of these guys will ever, ever beat me for my belt.
But they're going to give it to Rawls. Here we go.
That's Kidman's out.
Like I said, I knew they'd get rid of Kidman momentarily.
Flying hip scissors took him over.
Look at this.
Juventud and Ciclope.
My money's on Ciclope.
Two of the luchadors remain.
Twice the size almost of Juventud.
Boy, the fans want him to hook it up here. A little stare down here. Standoff.
Well, no, not really. Juventud is looking at him, but well, the other guy don't have a clue where he's looking at.
They're going to catch their breath here, I guess. Little handshake. Good.
May the best man win. Wait a minute. Juventud just eliminated himself.
Juventud just eliminated himself. Ciclope, what's he doing here?
He's unmasking.
That's not Ciclope! Look at that!
Dean Malenko!
He's back!
The man of a thousand holes! The man that will face Jericho for the title right now!
Everyone standing! And we're off and running!
Well, I've never seen Malenko like this! Have you ever seen him with this acceleration? What Jericho said about this man, the way he's talking about his father who's passed away. Jericho, you're in deep, deep doo-doo tonight, pal.
Texas Wolverine!
He's going near the rope.
Watch for the tap out. Keep your eye on Jericho.
He's going for the ropes. He's trying to make it. He's 3 feet away. Less than three
he's
feet.
So close.
2 feet. He's a foot away.
He gets pulled back.
He can't make it.
How much longer can he withstand that pain? And that answers it. Not much longer. Malenko wins the title.
We've got a new champion. The world's toughest Punkin just did it.
It's redemption for Dean Malenko.
We are back. We just watched Chris Jericho defending against, somebody yet to be named. We'll get to that in just a moment. The winner of the Cruiserweight Battle Royal. Ryan, what did you think of that whole thing, whole kit and caboodle that we just saw?
I thoroughly enjoyed it. I don't know. I was just very invested. Maybe it's because I haven't seen wrestling in 3 months. I don't know, but like, I was very into it. So, yeah.
So, to jump into the notes, so we've got David Penzer, the famed WCW ring announcer. He attempts to perform the ring introductions before he's interrupted by none other than WCW Cruiserweight Champion Chris Jericho. I wrote down some of my favorite lines. Was there anything that stuck out to you as that you enjoyed around Jericho's early appearance introducing his potential opponents?
Lonely soul.
That's right. So Billy Kidman comes out. And so this is right in the middle of the heavy implication that Billy Kidman is a heroin addict, that character, which who can't love that? But yes, what did you call Lonely Poet?
Lonely Soul.
Lonely Soul. Lonely Soul, Billy Kidman. Yes, he's coming down in raggedy clothes. He's itching himself. But yeah, he immediately Ryan liked him. But so as far as some of my favorite Jericho lines, a rags to riches story from selling chimichangas on the streets to WCW Ciclope, who we'll talk more about Ciclope in just a little bit. Next up is Damian. He can't afford a mask. He's using paint, but sooner or later, he's going to buy a mask. This guy is Silver King. If he wins 12 more matches, he'll be upgraded to Golden King. and so on and so forth. And I think Chavo Guerrero was called, he basically said that he'd make a much better bartender than a wrestler. And so your two, not that we picked, but your emotional ties were to Billy Kidman and Chavo Guerrero.
Yeah, no, I immediately attached to them, and, you know, we can go on. Well, in case we talk about it later.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think to summarize, like, the battle royal portion, it's like you have 15 guys in there, and the ring is so filled that nobody can actually do anything of merit or consequence until at least like a good chunk of guys get eliminated.
Yeah, no, it was like I thought, like, going in, it was going to be like a bunch of guys, like 15 guys. I was like, they're going to start getting thrown out of the ring like immediately and just kind of be. But it was kind of fun to watch 15 guys just do shit. Like, I don't know what they were just doing stuff. Like, some of them were like not landing. Some of them were just like, you know, playing around. Like it was fun to watch that for like, you know, a couple minutes, and then they started throwing people out. You know?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Evan Courageous somehow lands a springboard like drop kick or something with all the guys in the ring, which was just wild. It's just dangerous. Like, you had guys that were trying to do shit off the top rope. You had people that were laying in weird spots, so you never know if somebody's hip was going to land on your head or some shit like that.
No one in the crowd's invested.
Nobody gives a shit about anything because half of these guys, like, they barely see and have no character development. Yeah. They're just random luchador number seven. But yeah, so was there any moves in particular that really like stood out to you during that portion of the match?
There was a couple of like high flying off the ring that just landed on no one that I really loved, you know. That was like kind of my favorite part of it was a good watch. The 15, I enjoyed it. Yeah.
It didn't overstay its welcome. It was relatively brisk.
Sure, agreed. And it could have overstayed its welcome, you know. Yeah. It didn't. It was right on time, so yeah.
The final four of our battle royal: Ciclope, Kidman, Juventud, and Psicosis. Go ahead.
Can I mention really quick?
Yeah.
I think the final five had both my guys in it.
That's right? True. Yes, Chavo. Yeah, I
just want to point it out. I just, you know, hey,
you were so happy that how honed your wrestling prediction skills were at that point too. You were very happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just pat yourself in the back. You're just gonna throw your shoulder out, patting your back.
For my family, you know, for my family.
Maybe one of my favorite bits was there's a point where Psicosis is running across the ring, and like he gets his leg kicked in the back, and he basically eliminates himself by jumping up over the top rope, which is also phenomenal. But Ryan's last remaining pick of Smackhead Kidman, he gets eliminated. We're down to Ciclope and Juventud. Hoovy gets psyched up briefly, but then they seem to be exchanging words with just no action. They're just kind of talking in the middle of the ring, and you're kind of unclear on what's actually going on. And then Hoovy, after some time, jumps over the top rope and eliminates himself, essentially. What was going on in your head as all this is playing out?
Not a lot, Eric. it just flowed right along. Another interesting little wrestling thing. He hopped out. I was like, oh, this is, you know. So it was just flowing with it, the good of the match. Just it continued flowing. Interesting stuff was happening. You know, that was,
So Hoovy eliminates himself. We're left with Ciclope, which is, again, like when you think of guys that are kind of interchangeable luchadors that don't really have any storylines based around them, Ciclope would absolutely be one of them. And so as he removes the mask and reveals that it's actually Dean Malenko, the crowd is going wild. And then they have a very brief shot of Jericho, who's already in the ring, like shocked. And then he gets stomped to death in the corner while the crowd just eats it up. Like, it was a very, very strong reaction for the unmasking of Dean Malenko as a surprise. But let's see. Moving along from there, got a big back body drop, a drop kick. I think Dean was almost surprised by how loud of a reaction he was getting. Like, I think like he was taken aback and not really sure like what type of offense he needed to be hitting to like sustain the crowd's enthusiasm fully at certain points.
I thought he did like a great, like, I mean, obviously the mask came off, but like, I thought he did like, I mean, the crowd was at that point, like, you know, especially in certain like regions, the crowd work in this, and I like, you know, it was great. Like the crowd work was almost perfect for this setting of type of match. Like, you know, I wasn't like the most insane crowd, but it was just like perfect crowd work.
It's that, it's that Worcester crowd, Ryan. It's that Worcester.
I, you know, hey, like you said it, like, I mean, these guys are, these are some great wrestling fans out there. I gotta, gotta give respect to Massachusetts wrestling fans.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can't not. But Jericho eventually cuts Malenko off after Jericho kind of eats some shots outside and gets thrown out of the ring. Malenko eventually eats a stun gun, which is where you kind of pick the guy up and you drape his neck over the top rope. That looked good. Then we had a running senton, which Ryan was like, oh, I didn't like that move very much. There was one, I didn't even see it when we were rewatching it necessarily, but there was a crowd shot. There was one guy wearing an NWO shirt and he has a New Hampshire NWO license plate. The next guy sitting next to him has a shirt that says Ultimate Party. And then there's a guy next to him in a Goldberg shirt saying, bring it, what's up, over and over and over. And then a dreadlock fat guy in a Bad Brain shirt. So it was just the cream of the crop there in Worcester, to your point.
Yeah, no, agreed. I mean, well said.
We've got the delayed vertical suplex where he kind of, where Jericho holds Malenko up for, I don't know, maybe a good five seconds or so. And then he my favorite, one of the highlights of every Jericho match, he goes for the cocky 1 foot pin with the come on baby flex, which, you know, never gets a three count, but always good to see. Lion salt, so the moon salt from the second rope from Jericho.
Malenko. Are you making this up, Eric?
No, this is really, these are my 1,000.
Moon salt?
A moon salt. It's where it's a backflip. It's a backflip, but a lion salt is a variation of a moon salt, Ryan, from where you're.
Let me ask you a quick question.
Mark. Yes.
Okay. How many moon salts do you think we've seen in our wrestling? Just a guess.
Like, oh gosh, probably over 15 to 20, maybe.
Okay.
I mean, a good number of moonsaults. You know, it's not something we see every time. You're not going to see any moonsaults from Stone Cold Steve Austin, but we've seen our fair share of moonsaults and moonsault variations. Now, a moonsault, Ryan, not to be confused with the 450 splash, because it's completely different. But so a lion salt, a variation of a moonsault from Jericho. Malenko kicks out. Chin lock from Jericho for like a second. We've got some kind of back and forth a little bit. Jericho hits his big double underhook backbreaker onto Malenko. And then he goes for his finishing maneuver of the lion tamer, which Malenko counters out. Jericho gets to the ropes. Big back elbow from the top rope, which, you know, Ryan, you seem to enjoy that move, but you're not going to finish a guy like Dean Malenko with something simple like that.
I knew it. I knew it. Yeah, exactly. Like,
then we have a sign in the crowd. I think actually I saw this when we were rewatching it, but I wasn't paying that close of attention. It says they misspelled Jericho. So Jericho is spelled J E R in real life. They spelled it J U R. So it says Jericho sucks dick in the crowd.
That would have been my sign.
Jericho. We got with a leg
G-E,
up.
With a, like
yeah,
a G-E.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. G U R. Yeah. Leg up, Ryan's favorites. We've got a punch exchange. And then eventually Malenko hits a huge gut buster from the top. So he hoists Jericho up, puts his basically like he's doing a, what do you call it? Like a, what's the workout move?
A knee up.
He's crouching. He's crouching, but he's got one leg out sort of bent. And then Jericho goes stomach first on the knee. That leads to Dean Malenko's finishing maneuver of the Texas Cloverleaf. Jericho attempts to go for the ropes. Malenko pulls him back to the center of the ring. Jericho taps out. We've got a new cruiserweight champion in Dean Malenko, and all's right with the world.
So we got like 53 more thousand before he gets to me, you know?
Yeah, he'll get there. I mean, I have faith in our guy here. But so that puts you at 49, 37, and 1. One match winning streak now.
This is fall Ryan Murphy wrestling, all right?
It's not fall just yet, but you know, we're getting there. Should we probably, I mean, is there anything else worth mentioning about the match? Any summary thoughts?
I just said, I don't know what it was. This was, I was invested. Good match. I liked it. I enjoyed it. So
let's rank it. Let's put it on our list.
So he's going to be higher than you might expect.
It was kind of a threatening tone that you just gave, but hey, I'm just going to roll with the punch and we'll see.
Every time I make a ranking, I feel threatened. All right.
Your very livelihood threatened.
Let me pull this up.
It's been a while. I can.
Yeah. Let me see if it's saved here.
Send you the link if needed. But so I guess to start, how would you quantify this? Good. Great.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking it's definitely going in. It's definitely going great.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I was thinking. I don't want to get like too. I'm just kind of going with my heart here again. I went with the heart with the match. I might go with my heart with the rank. I feel
so
like
let me look at the very bottom of great here and see how this compares to some of those matches there, and then we can maybe make a decision from that point. So the very bottom of great, Sabu. Oh, Terry Funk. That's weird. I didn't expect to see that.
as we spoke about.
Sabu, I even forgot we watched that match. Sabu versus Terry Funk, the barbed wire match, where Sabu tears his bicep open and, you know, it's bloody. It's violent and bloody. So that's the very bottom of great. So that's essentially the threshold that this match has to clear to be in that category.
Eric, can I say something really quick?
No, actually, Ryan. Yes. Okay.
Is it actual no or
no? I'm just kidding.
Okay, so here's where my I was poking around, but honestly, like I was like, I don't know if I want to put this in the top 10, but I felt like I was like, okay, maybe I put it like a little bit, and I was thinking 12. You know, that's another Terry Funk.
yeah, you're right.
How about I do this, Eric? But I do this.
And that, number 12, that's the King of the Deathmatch Finals. This,
how about
the area you're looking in? These are like really, really notable. I mean, look at towards the bottom of great, Hulk Hogan versus Vince McMahon in Seattle. Like, is totally fine if you feel this strongly about this match, but like, these are some really, really legendary contests that were.
Yeah, but like this one, like when I look at wrestling, what the thing that engaged me, I think like some good matches that like, I just think are kind of like, I don't personally love them. I just think they're like kind of dumb. And I thought this match had a lot of high flying, had a lot of like, it was like good. Like you bring out all these random wrestlers. Like I thought it was, you know, I'm going to say it again, Eric, I'm back. It was authentic, you know?
He's back. He's back, everybody. Okay. Yeah,
but here's what I'm going to put it at. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm going to put it out of respect for Terry Funk, RIP. I'm going to put it right behind him. I'm going to go number three, and maybe I regret it, but I really did like this match, and maybe it's just I'm back in the game, but I had a good time with this match. I thought it did well, and RIP Terry Funk, I'm not going to push him back.
No. Okay, all right, noted. I will add it as our new 13. Wow, that is higher than I expected it to be perfectly honest, but, you know, hey.
Hey.
It's those guys deserve to be up there. Those are both two very talented professional wrestlers, but where did Hoovy versus Chris Jericho go? Where did that land?
So when you rank these, you never push a match out of a certain
thing. It just expands if a match is great, it's great.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
If a match is good, it's good. Like it doesn't just because another match is better, that doesn't mean that another match should be bumped from great to good.
No. I think you're right. I think what you're doing is okay. I just wanted to.
Yeah. Thank you for clarifying there. Cool. Anything else worth mentioning around that little piece of business?
No. Solid stuff. I don't have anything else to mention along the wrestling line. So.
All right. Well, I guess we got to pivot here. I'd forgotten that I even added some stuff, but apparently I did. I don't know when I would have done this, but we got to finish things out with a little piece of business. If I can remember which button I need to push here. Eric's Wisdom Tree.
Good on the mic. The mic worked well. That was some. Tell Colton that mic.
The Hardmark benefactor, Colton. Thank you for the new microphone. I'm just gonna hit you with it. Rock, Ryan. Rock is the superior option in rock, paper, scissors.
Oh, this is a good one. That's a nice wisdom tree, Eric. Let me think really quick.
Rock's the way to go. Like, I remember there was a time when my wife and I were staying in a Airbnb with her sister and brother-in-law. And like, there were two rooms, and like, one room was better than the other. And so then, then our sister-in-law was like, well, we can rock, paper, scissors for it. And I so badly wanted to pull Heather aside and be like, rock.
Yeah.
But I didn't have that. What happened? They both went scissors to start, which is always what happens. I would say the vast majority of time, both players start with scissors.
Let me pose this.
Yeah.
Okay. This is a good point, and I don't know how I feel. I can't say you're wrong. Rock might be the right answer. But like, when you rock, paper, scissors, are you a one time or two out of three?
Oh, you
When you did it for the room, what did you guys do? Like one or two?
It was probably one. I don't remember that vividly, but I feel like I want to say it was one.
You just remember the actual decision she made.
No, I do remember that vividly, because I was in the back of my mind. I was just like, "Fucking, you got to do rock. You got to do rock." But I didn't get a chance to pull her aside. I couldn't get in her head. Geez, and then we ended up with we lost, and we ended up with the lesser room, all because I couldn't plant that seed of knowledge of you got to go rock every time.
No, I think rock paper scissors is a great way to settle things. I think I can't say you're wrong on that. I don't know. I can't say oh no, I definitely go scissors or paint.
I almost didn't want to give this wisdom out because I don't want a lot of people to know about this.
Here's what I can say though. I think scissors is the worst choice. you either got to go rock or paper your first, but I can't say rock is wrong. I think you might have something there,
Okay, here, let me pitch it to you like this. How often do people start with paper? Never. People never start with paper because scissors are so prevalent.
You think scissors are being dropped number one a lot?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I would bank money on that.
I wonder what the data says on this.
I don't know. I don't know. And you can't go to the professionals here. You can't go to the rock, paper, scissors, because they're running strategies that most normies are not. But if you were to walk the streets of Denver, if you were to go around to your tiki party tonight.
Yeah.
And start just challenging people to rock, paper, scissors. I guarantee you, if you charted everyone's play down, it would be scissors would be the majority, followed by rock. Probably followed by rock, and then probably paper last.
I think people just get confident with scissors because they think they have a knife in their hand,
Yes, exactly.
I could stab you with my scissor fingers, I think scissors is the worst choice. I agree. I think a lot of people are probably dropping rock, and I would probably go paper at one or two, but this is good. This is good stuff, Eric. I like where your head's at right here. I don't know. I don't think you're wrong. Yeah.
I got a question for you.
Okay.
Are you a rock, paper, scissors man, or are you a rock, paper, scissors shoot man?
Rock, paper, scissors.
Okay. Same.
Rock, paper, scissors. Yeah. You drop on three.
Yeah. It's like rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah.
But then there's a subset of people.
I don't play bullshit games. All right.
We know that about you.
Yeah. So.
Okay. So no rock, paper, scissors.
Okay. All right. I like that. I'm going to drop a little rock, paper, scissors here, there, collect the data, see what we see,
That's all I've ever asked from you is a data collector, head data collector.
Yeah.
And I hope you get your title of man of 54,097 compliments back tonight. Is really accepted.
It'll be back at some point. We'll see if it comes tonight, but it'll be back.
I'm hoping for tonight.
I'll let you know. I'll make sure when I redeem myself, I will put it appropriately on this podcast, and we will then, but only then. If I won't make it up,
Then and only then.
So.
All right. Well, I appreciate the listenership, the Markomaniacs sticking with us. This is not going to be an every week thing for the foreseeable future, but we, as mentioned before, we'll be back. It's just when we have the time, when
Evelyn is 36 months and she's ready to podcast, we'll be on.
Yes, absolutely. Stay tuned. Mark your calendars for that, Markomaniacs, but hard mark your calendars for it. But if you are not hard, everybody get hard. Once you get hard, stay hard. That's all, folks.
higher than you might expect.